Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
.755 is real with David O'Brien and Eric O'Flaherty is on the air now. Welcome back to 755 is real. I'm David O'Brien, Braves writer for The Athletic, with my co-host Eric O'Flaherty, former Braves reliever. What's up, Eric?
What up?
Here we go, man. The backdrop. Another beautiful day here in Northport.
I missed that. That field looks really nice.
Yeah. And, been a big week, man. First of all, I don't know. I'm going to open this thing so I can see the comments. But what did everybody think of Brandon Gaudin? I should know how to pronounce his name. The new voice of the Braves, play by play. Brandon Gaudin, I think. Gaudin. Had his first game today on Bally, and everybody I talked to really likes him. Thinks he's really good. So I think that was a great hire for them. But I wanted to see what people are saying out there, what they thought. The people that watched it.
I can watch some of them. I just never know. It's so sporadic what games are on TV.
Yeah.
You know, if they were all on, I'd probably watch quite a few, but
yeah,
I have to do it through the MLB app.
Yeah. He was good. What I've seen on national games, he's really good. So just a professional voice. Good guy. Real pros pro. Versatile, done a lot of stuff. But now
Where was he before this?
He started at Georgia Tech doing all their sports, but he's been on Fox and everything lately. He's done baseball, some football, basketball. He's good. All right, today, this was a chance for Schuster, whose competition with Dylan Dodd is for fifth starters coming down to the wire. Today, Schuster goes up against a Mets lineup that really is their opening day lineup, except for McNeil and Nimmo were the only guys not in there. So he faced the rest of them and was strong. Six innings, two hits, two runs, two walks, two strikeouts. One of the runs could have been an out. Acuna made a terrific throw from right field, and it just took a bad hop right in front of Darno. Just a hard field and all that, and he couldn't catch it. But it was a hose, man. And otherwise, just been one run. But he was really strong. These guys have kept this up, which I was talking to Charlie – and he was kind of really impressed, and Kyle Wright both, by how these guys have continued to pitch the same way, even though all so much focus is on them now.
Yeah.
The pressure to win a job, where we've seen guys fold in the past in the last couple of weeks of spring training when they know they got a chance at a job, like Kyle did it was like three or four springs ago. And these guys are not doing it so far. They're really pitching well. This was the most he'd even given up today, but it was still a solid outing on a day when he really didn't have his slider like he had in those two previous outings. Still pitched well.
Yeah, you'll see that a lot with guys that, you know, you come into camp and you have no shot. So it's just like, why the hell not just, you know, fill up the zone and have a good time here. Let me just show them what I got. And then when it becomes a thing and you've got something you can mess up, that's when you start to see them first kind of feel that pressure and maybe, you know, put a little too much pressure on themselves and fall apart. But it seems like both these guys they both want it and they're not afraid.
Yeah. Very poised. Very different personalities. Schuster, we just talked to him and he came out kind of a soft-spoken guy, kind of shy, but confident. Dylan Dodd's got some swagger to him. He's kind of a little more cocky, that kind of thing. So in a good way. And the two of them are friends and really are really relishing this instead of, you know, instead of it getting to them. They're both joking about it and having fun with it and all that. So, and it helps having a clubhouse. It helps having a clubhouse like they do, where guys have made them feel so comfortable. I mean, that's been a big thing with the Braves the last 5-6 years, ever since Marcakis was here, actually.
Shoot, it was that way when I came over.
To make these guys feel really comfortable.
Yeah.
And so they're not worried about all the other crap. They're just worried about pitching. And they're going out there, and we're seeing the results of it. So it's been impressive. When we see Dodd go tomorrow against Boston, and they'll play, they're probably their full lineup too, because it's down there. It's at Fort Myers in a night game on Friday night as we wind down. So
night games are nice in spring training. It's nice pitching in night games.
Yeah. And it'll be a little cooler. And that'll be it. I mean, then they'll make their decision. And I don't really know which way it's going to go. You could say Schuster because he's a first rounder. He's got 28 starts in the high minors compared to 10 for Dodd. But I asked Snit, would either of those be factors in it? And he goes, I don't think so because, you know, both of these guys have shown down here that they're going to throw strikes and they're not walking anybody and he doesn't think it's really going to affect either one of them. It hasn't down here. So the draft status and number of starts in high minors really probably isn't going to play into it. I think they're just going to look at the guy that they think is going to give them the best chance to win starting every fifth day, at least for the beginning of the season. Speaking of fifth starter, another who could be in that role or another starting role at some point in the not too distant future, if he continues to grow off of yesterday's start, Wednesday start, is Mike Soroka. Michael Soroka, I should say, because that's what he's going by now. He was a very encouraging game against the Tigers, man. It was the line doesn't look great. In and in a third, whatever it was, but gave up a few hits. But if you watched him pitch, you saw he threw three pitches over 96 or over 95. It was 95.2, 95.4. 95.8. Slider was really good. He just didn't quite command it, but it was sharp. It was breaking sharp.
That's back with his – I mean, he wasn't topping out much higher than that before.
Right. Maybe half a tick higher, but yeah. And that was when he
first came out. I mean, I had him at 93, 94, 92 to 94, I think. That's what I remember being at when he was locked.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, did he get up to 95?
It might have topped out 97, but that was when he was just kind of chucking it. You know, before he was really learning how to pitch. Yeah. And he looked good, man. And more, I don't know, probably most importantly, obviously most important was health. He came out of it fine, felt good today. But right in the first inning, he has to field a swinging bunt in front of the plate and ran down there, picked it up, boom, no problem. Then he covered third base. He said, I really let it out more, let it kind of rip more on that because he sprinted over to cover third on a throw from right, an errant throw. And I watched the replay of it. He ran over there without hesitation and wasn't limping or anything like that. I mean, you wouldn't have known that this guy, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know by looking at how he pitched and how he ran and all that he's have Achilles that's, you know, massive and has been reconstructed twice.
Well, those are the big tests. You know, that's kind of the big test is when the play itself is dictating your effort level and the speed. You know, it's one thing to run sprints in a controlled environment or change directions when you already know you're going to change directions. But those instinctual kind of, you know, stepping on the gas pedal, just like jabbing off a foot, kind of coming in on a bunt and it's over there and you got to switch. You know, the uncontrolled environment is when you really test it. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, if he did those things and felt good about it, it seems to me like he's been pretty confident in it for a long time, but it's just game speed is just a time where you really test something that, you know, you can't replicate it.
Yeah. He said it wasn't a big deal to him, but he knew it would be for fans and everybody to see the, you know, of course, a bunt is going to swing.
Oh yeah. Goes right. I want everybody to see that if I do it.
He said, but he's ran enough in the past past year to know, to be confident. And he wasn't worried about it at all. So, but I tell you what else, man, the dude in a pair of cleats, when he's standing on concrete talking to you, he's massive. He is so much bigger than he was when he first came up, and it's all good weight. He said, I used to be about 225, 222, 25 at start of the season, but it was kind of forced mass because he just wanted to get bigger, you know, back then. Just thought it would be good to get bigger.
But I don't like that weight either. Right. I like that man weight that just comes on its own.
He's 245 now. 6'5", 245, and it looks totally right on him.
Yep.
His legs are huge. His shoulders are wide. His arms are much bigger. He said, my dad's always thick, and I knew it someday I'd get big like that too, you know, as I got older. Dude, he's on his presence on the mound. He's a huge guy out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's one thing when you force it, you know, and it's like, I'm just going to eat everything in sight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hit the bench, and I'm going to hit – I feel like when you gain mass that fast – and it's like manufactured in the weight room. It's stiff weight. You know, I don't like it. But when it's just like, you know what, you're just becoming a man. You get into your late 20s, early 30s, and you just, because you've been active for so long, your muscle just gets thicker and denser. And you're always just kind of packing on weight real slow. But you're keeping your routine athletic. And it's not like, you know, you're just under the squat rack doing sets of 12, 10 sets until you're huge. You know, I think that's bad. But when you put on the mass naturally, it's like you have such a better chance of maintaining fluid movement. That for me, I always like when guys put that on if it's done in that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a really encouraging sign and something for the Braves to look forward to. Because, I mean, so he basically starts his spring training now as far as buildup. So you figure 5 starts. I mean, when they need him, there's a chance he could be ready in a little over a month or so. They're
early
not going to rush
him. Who cares if it's May or June? If you get him and he's anything close to what he was.
Yeah. He was good yesterday, man. It was legit good. It was legit. So
yeah,
that's a big development for them. Because you got Ian Anderson's gonna go down. He's down, he's gonna be down AAA. You're gonna have
Elders going down.
Bryce Elders down there. I mean, guys that are already proven. You're gonna have one of these kids that doesn't get the job, has pitched his ass off this spring. You're going to go 8-9 deep in your rotation. So there's
Double
not going to
be a problem.
Right. There's not going to be a point this year where you're thrusting a guy into a major league start, crossing your fingers going, I hope to God he's ready. I mean,
yeah,
you know, these guys are all ready. So that's going to help. And it should help the bullpen too, because we've seen the bullpen really get kind of worn out early.
It got worn out yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, and like last year, man, they had to carry a huge load early in the season, which they did. But we've seen the bullpen kind of frazzled towards the end of the last couple seasons, too, because of that heavy load they had early. So if you can get starters going, you know, 5-6 innings, 7 occasionally early on, instead of 3-4 like they did in the short after the short spring last year, you know, and the year before where you were, you know, getting some spot starts here and there, could really make a difference in that bullpen, which – is going to help because you had your first big bullpen injury today, and it's not what you want to see. Rossell Iglesias, the closer, is going to start the season on the IL with shoulder inflammation. I guess the good news is that they did an MRI. It's completely structurally sound. It's only mild inflammation in the muscle, and they think that not throwing for 7 days, they hope, will pretty much get it alleviated. I'm sure he's taking anti-inflammatories as well.
Or shot or something, yeah.
But if he only has to not throw for 7 days, you would think he might not be out that long.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you don't throw for 7 days, but you've been built up as a reliever, it's like you play catch for 2, and you throw a bullpen, and then alive, and it's like as far along as he is in his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, sometimes when it's a young guy, you're like, all right, we want to send you on assignment, make sure you still got it. But a guy like that's probably telling him what he needs, you know. And when it was mine, I was like, I want one game. And I don't even need a game, but I want one game to make you happy. And then I'm, you know, throw me out there and I'm good. If I get a couple bullpens, I'll go pitch.
But I mean,
he shouldn't be too long.
I would think best case scenario, he might be ready soon after the 15-day IL. He might not take much longer than that, maybe 2 or 3 weeks tops. If there's no setbacks and all that. But in the meantime, you know, this is a bullpen that's better equipped to handle it than most teams. I mean, because you got so many guys with closing experience. The obvious guy even though he doesn't have as much closing experience as others, is AJ Minter, the way he's pitched the last year. I mean, that's the guy that I think we'll go to on the with a bulk.
For me, that's like that's a no-brainer.
Right. Even though you've got an all-star former closer, Yates isn't nearly what he was then. He's still trying to get back to somewhat near that near that form, but that's not what he is right now. He's not what he was. Jimenez, if he can get back to where he was for most of last season with the Tigers, there's another option. But he's had a rough spring, too. A couple of bad outings. So, you know, right now where they are, I think it's AJ. And then, like Snit kind of indicated, you could also go matchups depending on how AJ is and all that and where he is.
AJ's getting the ball for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're giving him – he's getting at least two blown saves before we even talk about, you know, changing the roles up at all. Okay, yeah, just for me, he's earned that.
And with that spot, that bullpen's opening, I think to me, you got to go Nick Anderson because he only got sent down because he has options, and they could still use some more time to keep building him up. But he looked good this spring, and there's a guy with a ton of experience and high leverage.
He's not going to panic. He's not going to be overwhelmed. You know, you can put him in a lot of different spots. I like that.
In high leverage spots. So to me, it's got to be him. I mean, they could go Tonkin if you're trying to protect him, but I don't think the bullpen is a spot where you can really do that. Where you got a guy that's clearly better and you're going to need high leverage guys. Mm-hmm. Nick Anderson might make a difference in some game. Eric, let's hear from today's sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Which is different than the shortstop spot because there you got two kids, one who is not great defensively yet, Vaughn Grissom, who I thought was going to win the job, but he's not great defensively shortstop yet. He's serviceable. And you got another who his numbers are anemic offensively in the minors. Now, Shoemake looked really good this spring, made some swing adjustments, but I don't really think you can be confident on 35 ABs in spring training, most of those against minor leaguers and early in camp, and say he's going to carry that forward to a 500 at-bats during the season. So will he be able to transfer that to the majors? We hope so. But the Braves didn't know that for sure. And in the meantime, here's what went into the decision, because I was as stunned as everybody. We all were, because we had been led to believe by Snitker and everybody else said it had come down to Grissom versus Shoemake. After starting out the spring and all winter, they said it was going to be Grissom or Arcia. But Shoemake emerged early on, hit really well, showed the swing adjustments I was talking about, and he's really strong defensively. So it's just a matter of is he back from the knee, and he was. So he kind of, the way Snitker, as camp went on, made it out to be a two-man race between those two instead of Arcia and Grissom. So when they announced they're optioning both of those guys down on Monday, I think it was, we're like, so who's going to play short? Arcia, okay. All right, well, that was initially what you said, Arcia or Grissom. But here's what I wasn't thinking about and nobody else was thinking about when that decision would come down to. Now, people can accept this or not, but it makes perfect sense if you look at it from their perspective. I know nobody thinks Adrianza is a sexy player, but you can't have all sexy players, and you got to have a multi-purpose, and he's better than most utility guys in that he can legitimately play infield and outfield. He can play almost every position on the field. He helped win the Braves some games in 21. People forget he made some plays, got some big hits.
He got some big knocks. I remember that.
He's a good player, man. It's a good player. Well, if you keep Vaughn Grissom or Shoemake in that job, shortstop, it means Arcia goes to utility. They're not going to keep two utility infielders and one outfielder. They're not going to do that with their outfield situation. They might end up even being in platoon in left field. They don't know yet, but they're not going to do that. They wanted to have a utility guy, especially one that can play infield and outfield, Adrianza. If you kept Grissom or Shoemake, Arcia is your utility guy, you lose Adrianza because he's on a minor league deal like Pilar is that can opt out because of their veteran status. They're going to opt out if that was the case because there's going to be teams that can guarantee them more playing time and put them on the major league roster. At this time, spring training happens
if
every year.
If anybody offers you a major league deal.
Yeah. Every year it happens, though. You look for utility guys like that. The Braves have done it several times. They picked up Flaherty that time at the end of spring training. He ended up starting at third base for a while until he played third base. They had Tucker played right field until they brought Acuna up when they were manipulating his service time. So, I mean, they've had guys that have filled holes like that early in the season. With Adrianza, they didn't want to just lose him. Not that he's like a guy that you absolutely can't let go, but they're like, okay, do we have to lose him right now, though, in order to have Grissom or Shoemake over Arcia? Do we know that either of those guys is going to be even as good as Arcia? No, much less better. So why lose him right now when you can just simply option those guys down? I mean, if Grissom was clearly a strong defensive shortstop.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, they would have had to blow their socks off, and neither one of them did, it looks like.
And he did. He hit like crazy this spring, but it was 371, but it was like three extra base hits. It was mostly singles. I mean, you can't just go on batting average from spring training. You got to look at the big picture, who he faced, man. All that. But he did.
Willie Bloomquist used to hit 400 every spring training. And every year he was like talking about his adjustments. It's like, just slap it to
somebody always puts up great stats in spring. And in this case, it wasn't great stats because, like I said, it's not a lot of extra base hits or anything. And in Shoemake's case, God bless him, if those swing adjustments work, but they'd like to see it a little more down in AAA. Meantime, they also want him to get experience at second base because he hadn't played that position much. He's really good at shortstop. He's a good shortstop. But I'm watching Arcia play yesterday against the Tigers. Even as good as Shoemake is in good range, Arcia still looks smoother out there. I mean, that dude can play. He's a good player.
Yeah.
So basically,
he's also a gamer too. For me, when he gets at bats in big situations, I feel good.
He has
about
some big hits for them.
Yeah,
he's had some big hits.
Big hits with sporadic playing time. You know, like sitting on the bench for 2 weeks and come up and get a walk off double.
Yeah. So anyway, basically what it comes down to is, okay, if you're going to lose Adrianza, do you have to lose him now in order to keep one of those kids up here when you can just put Arcia there? They just don't think that one of those kids is going to give them a better chance to win losing Adrianza and having one of those kids at short than they do having Arcia play short, and you get to keep your depth. And if you have an injury, people also forget last year they used 6 second basemen. How are we going to soon forget the incredible Cano era? Robinson Cano, he played second base for them for a while last year.
Goslin
played second base for them last year. They don't want to be in that situation again where they're putting guys out there who just do not belong out there on a regular on a daily basis.
Well, there's a timing to those moves too. You know, like if you wait for everybody to fill up, and you get the guy through spring training, and then you put him in a position where you're going to send him down, or he might have to clear waivers or whatever.
Right.
Everybody's got the people they want, and so everything's full. And the guy, but when you do it at the end of spring training, you give teams a choice, and they're like, "Well, we'd rather have you."
Absolutely.
But once they've made the commitment and put somebody on the roster and start burning options and doing all this stuff, there's like this logjam of teams they want you, but they can't manipulate anything to make space for you, so they can't grab you. Now you're in AAA, and we still got you. We didn't lose you.
Yeah.
The other guys, you just send down. They don't have any say. You know, the guys with options, minor league, you know, guys with not a lot of service time in your 40, man. It's like, hey, you're going to AAA, and they just have to go pack. There's no, you know, do you want to go to this team because they'll put you on the major league roster.
And that's another one of those things I can't really expect everyone to think about or understand how the options work and everything. But at the end of camp, There are several teams always at the ready to pluck guys off waivers that are put through waivers or that opt out of contracts. The Braves used to do it all the time when they were rebuilding.
That happens every spring. It's like you go through all of spring.
Especially rebuilding teams.
Everybody
that want
thinks
veterans.
They know who's – everybody's like, I know who's on the team. I'm on the team. This guy's got an apartment. And then all of a sudden it's like, Chris Resop, here he comes. He's on the squad, boys, and he'll be here tomorrow. And so-and-so's going down to AAA. They thought they are on the team. But we found a guy that throws 96, and we're going to give him a try.
And rebuilding teams are teams that have a lot of young players that want to have a veteran guy or everything. A guy with good character that's a veteran that's been around. A guy like Adrianza. A guy like Pilar, who's on a minor league deal. If Pilar doesn't make this team, he will not be out there for a day before somebody takes him.
No.
He's looked good this spring, too. I don't know what the numbers say, but he's looked good. He's in good shape. He's hurt. He's not hurt. And he's been injured the last couple of years off and on, but he looks good. So, you know, those are just the things that I'm just saying. Those are the things that Alex thinks about because he is obsessed with having depth because he's had too many times where he's been scrambling to fill it and had to put somebody out there that was just in over his skis. And he doesn't want to be in that spot if he doesn't have to. And he didn't have to. And people say like, you know, oh, you got to let the kids play. They earned it. The kids are not going to go down to AAA and hang their head and go, that sucks, man. I earned that spot. They understand, man. They're going to go down and keep playing hard.
But they still are going to go down there and play hard.
Play their ass off so they get called up. And like you said, it's a lot easier to send Adrianza if he falls on his face or if Arcia gets hurt or whatever. It's a lot easier.
A week into the season, you just send them down.
When teams are all set, their 40-man rosters are set. They're not going to drop somebody to then pick up Adrianza. Right now, they're ready. A lot of teams would do that right now. So, anyway. Yeah. It's just – people just act like it's such a dramatic move and that it's set in concrete. This could change in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We could have – you know, 15
so
days
many
into
guys
the season.
There's so many guys that are on minor league deals that are going to make a team that if someone like Adrianza comes along and it's like, well, we like him a little better – before we guarantee this guy that's on a minor league deal his million for the year, or $2 million, whatever, you know, whatever small deal he signed, before we guarantee him that, we can pluck Adrianza and pay him whatever he's going to get. We like him better. But once you guarantee the other guy money, you're not going to cut him now and just burn 1.5.
Right.
So it's like that situation comes up where it's so much easier to slide a guy down to AAA and manipulate everything after rosters are full and those type of decisions are made where teams would have to burn money to take him versus before spring's up, you can throw this guy away that's on the minor league deal. You know, it's like, we were going to take you, but look what we got now. You know, good luck on waivers or wherever you wind up.
Yeah. And the only outfielders they had that really are in a situation where they need to keep or lose are Hilliard, who's out of options. He'll make the team. If he doesn't, I'll be surprised. And like we said, Pilar, who's on a minor league deal. The other guys, you're just able to option them. So it's no big deal. You don't lose that depth with Eli White, who had a really good spring. Nobody's saying that because they're not attached to Eli White like they are Vaughn Grissom, you know, the handsome shortstop who was up last year, the great personality. Eli White had a great spring.
Yeah.
He got optioned for the same situation, you know, because you can.
Options are a bitch.
Yeah.
You know,
you have no leverage while you have options.
It's so nice every time you burn one of those things. And, you know, you're getting closer to having just that little bit of leverage or that little bit of, you know, value to where the team can't just jerk you around anymore. But until you go up and down enough, you know, it's kind of like you can come into spring training, hit 455 and you're out of options, or you have options and the guy that's out of options hit 210. But we see something we like in him. He might be good. We don't want to lose him. You're going to AAA. And you can go hit 400 down AAA. And he's going to get to hit 210 in the big leagues for a month until they make that decision that he's not worth it.
Right. Right. So anyway, if it was only – if the GM's job would be very easy if it was a matter of stacking spring training stats up against each other and simply choosing the guys that had the best spring trainings. That is not the way it works, though. I mean – If it's a head-to-head battle between two guys who all things are equal, I mean, they both have options. They can send out like it is with Dodd and Schuster. Yeah, you can look at spring training results, who they face and all that, and go based on spring training. But these other guys, it's not like that. There's all kinds of factors contributing to this. And it should, people, I would think they would want their GM to make sure that he's got all his bases covered. And not just making decisions based on emotions and what fans want and all that. But instead, he's looking at the big picture. Maybe he doesn't even have to use that depth at all. And if that's the case, then okay, then people can say, see, we didn't even need Adrian Zarr. You got rid. But what if you do need to use that depth? What if you do have Arcia gets hurt or whatever? Then you didn't lose Adrianza. You can bring up Grissom or Shoemake. You know, it just were. It's just you didn't have to lose it. And neither of those guys looks like, you know, Dansby Swanson right now, you know.
Right.
Or Dansby. And even Dansby didn't look like Dansby his first year up here, but the Braves were rebuilding at that time. So the job was his.
Yeah, it's a little different when you're trying to win a World Series. I mean, but if when you talk about spring training performance, if you watch, how many 2-0 sliders do you see in spring training?
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you, you know, I mean, you just, you wind up, the only thing spring training numbers have ever taught me is who can really barrel up a fastball, you know, and you don't, even if you come up top nine, bottom nine, whatever, tie game in spring training, you don't get pitched like it's a walk-off situation. Runner on first, all this stuff. Like the guy just gets his work in. And then by that point, you're facing a guy in from double A and the catcher doesn't even know what he throws. So it's like he doesn't know what he can throw for a strike 2-0. So guess what you're getting? The fastball. And so it's, you know, it's just the situational type of pitching just doesn't really happen in spring training as much. And it just shows you, you know, who's seeing the ball well and can hit a fastball. But it doesn't tell you what they're going to do during the regular season, because you're going to get such a different, you know, attack from the pitchers.
Well, if they do what they've done in spring training during the regular season, then Matt Olson is going to win MVP. That dude is raking.
Yeah,
he hit his seventh home run today, and it was in like his 35th at bat of spring training, or 34th.
I think he'll
at
have
bat.
A big year.
34th at bat. He looks so relaxed.
Yeah.
I mean, and last year he handled everything so great, you know, because personality and all that. But he's not a real outgoing, extroverted guy. So it takes a while to get, you know, really comfortable with your teammates and all that. Plus all the stuff we've talked about, all the pressures of playing at home, all the interview requests he was doing every day in a short spring and going home, all the TVs and everybody want to interview you because he only had 3 weeks down at camp. So 7 weeks here, these guys have really had time to be around each other, and he's comfortable now anyway. Got his house in Atlanta and all that. And he just looks like he just looks relaxed, man. He's just out there bombing. He's hitting 450 or something. He's got 7 bombs. He's leading the majors in homers and RBIs. And he's only playing, you know, about half the time. He ain't even making road trips. So it looks good.
That second year with the team, when you show up and you just got to high five everybody instead of, you know, prove yourself and get to know them and all the media distraction too of, you're doing so many more interviews and so much more stuff, replacing Freddie. Like the second year you show up and it's like just time to play baseball, that I think he's going to have a good year.
Guys, let's take a quick break and then we'll finish up the show.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top 3 things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, 2 pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm just looking at the comments again. It's like, it doesn't matter how many times you explain it, because if people want to hear something, they're going to hear it the way they, or if they look at it the way they want to look at it, that's it. Nobody is saying that Adrianza is an all-star and that it would be the worst thing in the world to lose him. What they're saying is why lose him if you don't have to, based on keeping Shoemake or Grissom? You're not keeping a stud that you know is better than Arcia right now. So you're making it, you're going base and Shoemake off. Look at Shoemake's stats in AA and tell me that's a guy you're confident is going to be able to hit major league pitching when they're running those studs out there every day. Not minor league, not spring training pitching, major league pitching. That's a guy that slugged under 400 in AA, AAA. I mean, those are some pretty bad offensive stats. I hope he's turned a corner, and he may have. But you can't base that on spring training stats. And in the case of Grissom, I love that dude. I think he's got great hand bat-to-ball skills. I think he's going to be a really good hitter. But he's still learning the shortstop position. I asked Wash about it yesterday. Wash has said it himself. And this is Wash has spent half the winter working with this guy. And Wash understands why the decision was made. And Wash said RC is a pro, man. They know what they're going to get from him out there. So Grissom goes down and keeps working at AAA for a while. And you can bring him up anytime. But if you don't, we just talked about how you're going to lose. You're going to lose some of your depth right now if you go that way. When you don't have to. It's not like Grissom or Shoemake is going to help you win a bunch of games in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season over Arcia. That's not going to happen. It's just not. So why lose Adrianza if you don't have to? I'm not saying he's a great player. I'm saying he's a really competent utility guy that if you lose him, you don't have him. And you're going to have somebody in that role. Anyway.
I don't know how you you do a good job engaging and responding to people, but I don't know how you keep it up all year long because there's like so much shit that like right now you just spend this time explaining it, and the next comments just
Well, and they think you're a shill for making those comments. And I'm like, it was explained to me. I talked to the coach. I talked to Wash yesterday. Yeah. I mean, I'm just telling you what their decision, and it makes sense. Was I stunned at the decision Monday? Yes. Because I hadn't even thought about the prospect of losing depth, and why would you lose depth if you don't have to? And you can make, I wasn't thinking of it in those terms. And Snit himself has said, we're going to take one of them. So when Snit says we're going to take one of them, that's what you're expecting is going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, ultimately, it came down to the team talked about it, and Snit is just one voice in that room. It's a powerful voice, but there's other ones too. And when they said, that does make sense. Why would we want to lose him right now? They all like Adrianza, by the way. They have a lot more appreciation for the player than fans do. The coaches like him. I mean, they re-signed the guy for a reason. But what were you saying?
Oh, I was really curious if anybody, any of the coaches or, Snit had commented on where they thought Grissom was at defensively.
Strides really, really progressed with the work he did in the offseason, but still doesn't have great range over there, and still can learn a lot by playing it every day in AAA.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he just hadn't played it that much, He just hadn't played it. And Shoemake, same way, hadn't played much second base. They'd really like both those guys to have the versatility to be able to use them at either because it makes them a lot more valuable. So Grissom is going to play mostly shortstop at AAA. Shoemake's going to play mostly second base because he hasn't played that position much.
They can't both play it, so somebody's got to go over to second base.
And Shoemake is already probably a plus defender at shortstop, even by big league standards. So there's really – that's the way
– So his bat's the question, huh?
Bat's the only question with Shoemake. So, anyway. I would have said till today they were really doing well health-wise, but, the Iglesias, that's a pretty significant potential move. Now, if he's back in 2 or 3 weeks, it's no big deal. We forget about this in a month. But if it's something that lingers, which they're pretty convinced it's not. I mean, they did the MRI right away. Said he came in yesterday and was throwing and just felt something. And so they did an MRI and it showed that. But apparently it's not.
It just showed inflammation.
Yeah, mild. They said mild and it's in the muscle. The muscle, not, I guess that's better than ligament or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Everybody responds so much. Like you could have the same thing and put it in five guys' shoulder, and one guy's just like doesn't feel a thing, and one guy's in agony. So it's so hard to gauge any injury what anybody's feeling. And sometimes it's like these things pop up, and as a player, you're like, it's a little uncomfortable, and you just kind of throw through it, and then it just goes away. You know, a lot of things just go away, or you rest and it just goes away. Sometimes you'll have this thing and you do the MRI and nothing really shows up and it nags you the whole year. I had a groin injury that nagged me for an entire season. MRI showed nothing. It was like any, if I ever took an awkward step, sharp pain up in my hip, and it was like, the MRI says there's nothing there. I'm like, well, fuck, it hurts every, you know, and I pitched the whole season with it and that nothing, you know, and if I had just gone by the pain, I would have missed a lot of the year. But, you know, there's a lot of things you can kind of like, once they're warmed up, you're good. But, you know, the game's really shifted to where teams are like, all right, before this turns into a thing, especially, I mean, if you think about how valuable Iglesias is to this team, I mean, he dealt. Last year, he was a game changer, and he's so consistent, makes pitches. I always feel good when he's on the mound. These are the type of things now that teams are like, we're not just going to shoot you up or give you some anti-inflammatories and tell you to take a day off. Let's see if we can get this completely out and get you to a point where you're ready to pitch the whole season, and it's not a lingering thing that bothers you the whole year because you're pitching through it.
Yeah, I mean, they could just rest him for the rest of spring training and hope he's ready, you know, in the first week of camp. But they're going to
10 years ago, 100%. It'd just be like, here's some Voltaren, take it easy, you know, throw a bullpen. We're not going to tell the media, you know, if they ask why you're not pitching, just say you got some work in on the backfields, and we're going to try to have you ready for opening day. But now, you know, the mindset's kind of changed where it's like, why push him and have it turn into something when it's so minor? We can just miss him for a week of the season, and then, you know, maybe have him the whole year.
Did you, speaking of, man, it's a shame. You get down to the final days of spring training and you've avoided major injuries or whatever, and then you see guys start to go down. You're like, okay, that's when spring training. That's when you say, I wish it wasn't 7 weeks. Rhys Hoskins today with the Phillies.
What happened?
Bad. Left knee injury. Bad. It looks bad. He was carted. He had to be carted off the field. And he was in serious pain. So, I mean, you talk about taking a hit, man.
God, he was big. He had some big homers for the Phillies in the playoffs last year.
Oh, he sure did against the Braves. So no word yet on what it is, but it's obviously bad. But shit you got to deal with, you know? I mean, look at the Mets. We're going to lose Diaz for the whole year.
That is
devastating.
That changes everything. Yeah.
Best reliever in baseball, arguably.
You tell me I can have any closer in the game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he had something like 17 and a half strikeouts per nine for most of the year last year.
Yeah.
It was like, you bring him in, he's striking out too. Meaning you got to hit a homer because if you get one single, it's like,
yeah. Oh,
you're not doing anything. The guy's still going to be standing at first base when you get your next hit.
By the way, Iglesias, I think, had the best overall stats of any reliever after the trade deadline.
Oh, he was filthy.
Yeah.
And he kind of does it in a, He's not a lot of fist pumping, and he's not throwing 102. You know, he's throwing 96, but he's putting it wherever he wants with good off speed. Got balls. You know, he's just like kind of the pro, just a pro reliever that comes in and gets the job done.
Speaking of guys who just get the job done, don't make much noise. Dylan Lee has quietly put together a great spring, man. He hasn't given up a run, like 7 appearances. He just goes out and does it, again and again. I was talking to Colin McHugh this morning about him, and Colin said, last year, about midway through the year, or before that even, earlier in the season, once he got on a roll, he could see him. He's catch partners with him. And he said, once he got on a roll, you could see the confidence building and all that. And he said he's catch partners with him now. And he said he's so consistent, you could even see it just playing catch. It's just boom, boom, boom. It's the same every throw. So it doesn't surprise me at all what he does. But
yeah, it's just the velocity thing. You know, I mean, he could throw the exact same pitches up there, and if the gun just said 99, and maybe he got like a neck tat and started fist pumping, you know, it's like all of a sudden he's a big deal. But whenever you're just, you know, making pitches and you throw 92, 93, it's really easy to fly under the radar. But a lot of times that's nice. You know, it's nice to be in that position. And
yeah,
the numbers, the thing is, when you go to arbitration or you go to free agency, the numbers are what gets you paid. It's not hype. It's not, teams look at it and they're like, fuck this guy 5 years in a row, threw 70 innings out of the pen and did this and this. And, you know, 25 holds, never really blows games. You can use him in a lot of situations. Everybody wants you, you know, whether you have flair or not. And he seems like a guy that, you know, just knows what he's doing and gets it done.
And it's a guy that was released by the Marlins at the end of spring training a couple of years ago, living in his RV. And he has really taken off with the Braves, putting together a nice little career start of here.
Well, it's like that shows you what confidence can do for you too. You know, going to an organization and getting treated a certain way and then just getting off on the right foot, I think is a huge deal. You know, like when I came over to the Braves on waivers, my first game, the wind was blowing in. Matt Stairs hit a fucking bomb off me. I mean, he crushed a ball to left center. That was my first Braves game, and I'd gotten destroyed in the Seattle the year before. And so my confidence was already, you know, teetering. Like, this could go either way. You know, I had a good spring, but if I get blown out, like, it's nothing matters until you do it in the big leagues. You know, spring training doesn't count. Made the team. First game, I come in. I have, like, a 7 or 8 pitch battle with Matt Stairs. I think we were up by 1 or 2. There's some runners on, and he destroys a ball in Philly, left center, and the wind just happens to be blowing in, and Schaefer catches it at the track. If that ball goes over the fence, I'm just right back to where I was in Seattle. Like, I still fucking suck. Yeah. You know, it's like the fans hate you. Here we go again and everything. Like, that, I always think of how much of a career can hinge on just one moment like that for building your confidence. And coming over for Dylan, you know, and just getting off to that good start here, you know, he might ride it into a 10-year career, you know, from where he was at with the Marlins when he got released.
Just before we go here, dude, the WBC, man, the atmosphere was just off the charts. It was like a freaking World Series game for both for the Latin games with like the rivalry games, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, Dominican, when those teams played Miami. It was like sounded like a World Series.
Yep.
And then for that Japan USA game, same thing. And even out in Arizona, like Mexico played.
Yeah, they were expecting like 15,000-20,000. In Arizona, and they've got and they sold out.
Yeah,
they said they didn't have enough people working because they weren't expecting it.
So it's like a lot of us, you know, we've been kind of torn or reluctant to kind of get on board with the WBC. But man,
I think it's settled after that one.
It was just it's too good. It's too much good about it. I mean, obviously, it just doesn't work great timing wise. But there's no answer to that. You can't make it work great. Somebody said, "Why don't you have it after the World Series in December?" Because nobody would play.
No, they'd Google have no guys off-season. Are too worn out then. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's going to keep playing after their season's over. So their only answer, I mean, you can't have it during the middle of the season unless you
That's what soccer does. Right. Soccer, the World Cup's middle of the season.
You'd have to take a long break, but soccer's done that for so long, you know?
Yeah.
Baseball, the season already stretches for 6 months. You can't do that unless you cut. So it doesn't work any other way. So the only negatives at all. With the injuries, obviously. That's it. Other than that, it's just tremendous for baseball. I mean, to be able to watch a game in March, to watch that.
That matters.
Yeah. Ohtani and Trout, that matchup at the end, or that Puerto Rico-Dominican game.
There were so many comebacks and big hits. You know, one of the things that adds, for me, that adds the most value to it, that it's one game. Win or go home. I mean, you just jump straight into it after the pool play.
Right.
If you lose, you're going home.
Get a little, some of the matchups in the pool play got a little bit.
Like Great Britain versus USA. Right. Like, all
right.
Well,
right.
They got a 12-year-old start, and then he's throwing 86 left-handed. I don't need to watch this one. But
when Canada ran that poor 19-year-old baby face.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. Like,
That was brutal.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere in two ballparks that do not have good atmosphere these days because teams have sucked, although they're getting a little better in Diamond with Arizona. But still, the atmosphere in Miami, I mean, that's what it'll be like if they ever get back to the World Series. But they haven't since they've been in that ballpark. And, oh, my God, that place was to think what it's like when we play there in a regular season game. And it's like you can hear anything because it's so empty that if somebody yells, you can hear them. It was just off the charts. The energy in that place.
Shit, normally you just hear the club music, you know? Yeah. It's like that's all you hear the whole game. It's just
reverberating
the dance
off
music.
The metal roof and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the other noises, and then there's like some random fan. Like, it's just a bunch of different noises, you know, annoying noises, but
and once the players to a man, it seems like everybody that's played in the thing
says
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Everybody that plays in it.
They wouldn't all say that either.
Like, yeah, Trout said, "I'm committed. I'm in for 3 years," and he has nothing to gain by saying that.
Mm-mm.
You know,
You know what the comment you'd get was, is, oh, it's, you know, this is a lot of fun. It's really enjoyed representing my country. And then just like, see you guys.
Right.
You know, you
get I did it once. I'm done. But yeah. That's good.
But when everybody, like every guy is saying, this is, that's one of the best games I've ever played. Like, that's the biggest home run I've ever hit. When guys start saying
they
that stuff.
They all said that.
They're not saying that. They, you don't take it that far just to sell a product or say
said
the
it
right
was
thing.
Bigger than the World Series was home run did he hit. You know?
Yeah.
I was talking to Leland yesterday. He managed the one in 2017 when they won it. And he was just like, oh, our guys were so bought in. They were so pumped up for that thing. So I think you have to be there on the team to really get it. But obviously we saw the atmosphere from afar. But the players, though, they're all – none of them come away from it going, yeah, now I'm worn out before the season starts. No.
Yeah, no. They're like, I'm
and
coming
Trout
next
time.
Trout
was busting ass. Did you see Trout try to beat out that double? Or he did beat out that double.
He did, yeah.
I mean, here it's March, and he's like hauling ass. That was like ball in shallow right field.
Yeah, it was like
and
something
Ohtani,
like how many viewers they got from Japan was.
Oh yeah,
it's, it was like 90% of the country was watching the game.
Yeah, the percentage of TVs that were on, or percentage of people watching, and down like in Puerto Rico when they played, the percentage of people that were watching was like some like 60% of the island was watching, something like that of all the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ohtani on that ground ball.
What a joke.
That dude
he's so fast.
Can fly. He can fly. He's 6'5". He threw 102 in March, middle of March. He hit the longest ball, the hardest ball in the tournament.
I was kind of
hesitant to get on board the Ohtani's the best player bandwagon, but it's kind of hard. I just didn't. I thought by now he was going to have to go with one or the other. He was going to realize you can't do both.
That's kind of the boat I've been in too. You know, is not wanting to give him credit for what he's capable of, but not wanting to give it, not admit it's real. Like, you know, I don't want to say like this guy's really going to do this. I keep waiting for, you know, his craft's not going to be that good at pitching, or he's going to get hurt. Or he's not going to be able to hit and do both. And then I watched that slider he threw to Trout to strike him out. That was filthy. It's not like he's just getting by throwing 100 and on a – but, like, the dude's learning how to pitch.
Yeah, it's just crazy, man. You should – that he's able to do that is crazy.
You know what other aspect of that
without
that
getting
tournament?
All the days off between starts and all that?
No, it's stupid. Like, seeing him jog down to the bullpen and, it, you know, he's just – like, between at bats, let me go warm up. That's little kid shit. You're not supposed to be able to do that. That's Little League.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I did in Little League. You know, it's like go throw a few and then you're on deck. Like, let me jog back.
He's
jogging back
the major leagues just like the biggest studs treated Little League.
Yeah.
He's like Kelly League in the major leagues, man.
It's so hard to admit that he's actually doing it.
He's the Japanese Kelly League at the big league level.
He'd probably be a good outfielder.
Oh, he could do anything. Kidding me? By the way, you see Acuna's throw today?
I missed it.
I already said that. It was a hose. It was a hell of a throw.
He's moving. He's moving different this year.
He's moving great. Yeah, he looks good. Yeah. He's not hitting much yet, but you know, all you'd want is for him to be healthy. You know he'll hit. You know he'll.
Yeah, he seems to me like he's another one of those guys that can fall into a bad habit. And it's like, oh, shit, you know, he's hitting 150 the last 2 weeks. And then it makes the right adjustment. And there's nowhere to go. And he hits 350 with 10 homers in a week. And it's like, no, okay.
Yeah.
You know, he's so talented that he's always like, you know, right around the corner from a crazy hot streak. So if he has a bad spring, I don't care.
Yeah. As long as he's healthy, that's all that matters. Yeah. And he's running. Yeah. Looks good. Yeah. It was a hell of a throw, though.
He's like Kimbrel, like I used to say with Kimbrel. So we just got to get him to the park. If he can just navigate traffic, we're good to go. If he can just make it to the field, he's going to do well.
All right. Well, six games left, I think it is, including a split squad Saturday. Dude, they're playing a split squad. Both games are against the Twins. I don't think I've seen that before. They're playing the Twins here and there at the same time.
Is that just the closest park?
Well, it's Fort Myers, so it's only an hour away. But I haven't seen a split squad against the same team before.
Yeah, that's weird. Uh-huh. It's always different teams.
Yep. So that's split squad Saturday, and that's gonna. And then Charlie's gonna pitch again.
schedule dude jolly. Just said, screw it.
Not
it's like,
yeah,
the schedule guy was just like, I don't fucking know here. Just play each other at different stadiums. We'll get
so
you.
So Rocha is going to pitch again before we leave here. I think he's going to pitch that last game against the Red Sox, the finale. So
last game, you get some, usually get the full lineup too, which will be good to see from him.
At least, yeah. So, all right. We'll do this again next week. And then we'll start up two a week. Man, I'm tired. 2 weeks when the season begins. So thanks, everybody. We appreciate you watching us and all that.
Cool. See you soon.
That is 7:55 is real from the yard. We are out.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.